Hey everyone, thanks for joining us again. It seems like everywhere you turn these days, there's just a flood of information. It can be really tough to stay on top of it all.
It really can.
But, there are some things that are just too important to ignore, and that's what we're diving into today. Something that affects every single one of us. Healthcare cybersecurity.
That's right. We're talking about protecting the systems and data that are literally at the heart of our health and well-being. And as you might imagine, it's a field that's facing some really significant and evolving challenges.
Absolutely. And to help us really get a handle on what's going on, we've got some fantastic sources lined up. We've got insights from John Riggi over at the American Hospital Association, a deep dive into the vulnerabilities of the healthcare sector from CyberArk, and a comprehensive overview from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And what we're hoping to do today is to really cut through all the noise and distill the most critical insights from these sources so we can understand the state of healthcare cybersecurity, what's at stake, and what's being done to protect both patients and the healthcare system itself.
It's exactly. We want to give you the information you need to understand why this matters to you personally. Whether you're a patient yourself, have loved ones who rely on healthcare, or just want to make sure our healthcare system is as secure as possible.
I couldn't agree more.
So let's jump right in and start by getting a sense of just how serious the cyber threat is in healthcare right now.
Yeah, one of the things that really struck me reading through these sources, especially that AHA article, is that this isn't just a static problem. We're not talking about a fixed set of threats. It's a constantly evolving landscape.
It's like a moving target, isn't it?
It really is. And the bad guys are getting more sophisticated all the time.
And that's reflected in the numbers, isn't it? The HHS data really paints a stark picture.
Yeah, it does. We're talking about a 93% increase in large data breaches reported between 2018 and 2022. That's huge.
And the increase in ransomware attacks is even more dramatic.
It is a 278% jump during that same time period.
Wow, that's really alarming. And it's not just about data theft, right? We're talking about real-world consequences for patients.
Oh, absolutely. The HHS document really brings this home. They talk about extended care disruptions, patients having to be diverted to other hospitals, appointments and procedures being canceled. It's a serious problem.
And we've seen examples of this, haven't we? I mean, the WannaCry ransomware attack on Britain's National Health Service back in 2017.
Right, that one really made headlines. It led to ambulances being diverted, canceled surgeries. It was chaos.
And the OS hasn't been immune either. We've had similar incidents in recent years.
Unfortunately, we have.
So it makes you wonder, why is healthcare such a prime target for these kinds of attacks?
Well, I think the AHA article puts it really well. Healthcare organizations hold a treasure trove of extremely valuable data, both in terms of its monetary value and for intelligence gathering.
Yeah, it's not just medical records either, is it?
No, it's not. We're talking about protected health information, or PHI, of course, but also financial information like credit card and bank account numbers, social security numbers, even intellectual property related to medical research.
It's a gold mine for cyber criminals. It really is. And the thing is, stolen health data is worth a lot more on the dark web than, say, a stolen credit card number.
How much more are we talking about?
The AHA says up to 10 times or more, so you can see why it's such an attractive target.
And on top of that, the cost of remediating a healthcare breach is much higher than in other industries.
Much higher. The AHA gives an average of $408 per stolen health record, compared to $148 for other types of data.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
And CyberArk backs this up. They report that the average cost of a healthcare breach in 2021 was over $9 million, more than double the average across all industries.
So it's not just the initial disruption, it's the long tail of costs and the damage to reputation.
Exactly. And patient trust, which is obviously crucial in healthcare.
So given all that, what makes healthcare organizations so vulnerable to these attacks in the first place?
Well, CyberArk points to a few key factors. One is just the sheer size and complexity of their digital footprint, what's often referred to as the attack surface.
There's a lot of ground to cover, isn't there? There is, we're talking about all the connected medical devices, the Internet of Medical Things, or IoMT, as it's known, doctors and nurses using their own personal devices, third-party vendors needing access. It's a lot to manage.
And telehealth, which has been so important, especially in recent years, that's added another layer, hasn't it?
It has. While telehealth has been a lifeline in many ways, it's also introduced new security challenges.
It seems like there are just so many potential points of entry.
That's right. And then you combine that with the high value of the data we've talked about and the fact that a successful attack on a hospital can have such dire consequences, people's lives could be at stake.
So there's huge pressure to pay ransoms.
Unfortunately, there is.
Okay, so we know why they're being targeted.
Yeah.
What are the most common types of cyber attacks we're seeing in healthcare?
Well, ransomware is by far the biggest culprit, according to HHS data. Ransomware attacks account for almost half of all healthcare data breaches.
And those ransoms can be massive, can't they?
They can. CyberArk reports that the average ransomware payment in 2021 was over $910,000.
Wow, that's a significant hit.
It is, and it's not just ransomware either. The Verizon Data Breach Investigations report found that 86% of healthcare breaches involve things like human error attacks on web applications and intrusions into systems, often through stolen credentials.
So it's a mix of sophisticated attacks and just basic security lapses.
Unfortunately, it is.
So this is obviously a really complex problem. What's being done to address it? What kind of strategies and regulations are in place?
Well, this is where that HHS document really comes in. They're laying out a comprehensive framework for improving cybersecurity across the healthcare sector.
And a key part of that is the establishment of voluntary cybersecurity performance goals, the HPCPGs, right?
Exactly. They recognize that the current landscape of different security standards and guidelines can be overwhelming, so they're working to create a more focused set of benchmarks specifically for healthcare.
Makes sense, and these goals will have different levels, right?
That's right. There will be essential levels outlining the fundamental practices every healthcare organization should have in place, and then enhanced levels for those who want to go further and implement more advanced security measures.
So it's a tiered approach.
It is, and to help organizations actually meet these goals, HHS is planning to provide resources.
So they're putting their money where their mouth is.
Well, they're working with Congress to secure funding for two key initiatives, an upfront investment program to help providers who are most in need cover the costs of implementing those essential goals, and then an incentives program to encourage all hospitals to adopt the more robust enhanced practices.
That's great to hear, especially for smaller hospitals and rural facilities that might not have as much budget to devote to cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
But the HHS strategy goes beyond just voluntary goals and funding, right? There's also a focus on increased enforcement and accountability.
Yes, definitely. They want to see all hospitals meeting these cybersecurity goals, and they're looking at potentially incorporating them into existing regulations and programs.
So could these voluntary goals become mandatory at some point?
That's certainly a possibility. They specifically mention that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, will be proposing new cybersecurity requirements for hospitals that participate in Medicare and Medicaid, and the Office for Civil Rights, OCR, which oversees HIPAA, is planning to update the HIPAA security rule to include new cybersecurity requirements.
So there's going to be more pressure to comply.
There will be, and they're also looking at strengthening the enforcement of existing regulations like HIPAA.
How so?
Well, they're working with Congress to potentially increase the civil monetary penalties for HIPAA violations and to provide more resources for investigations and proactive audits.
So they're really taking a multi-pronged approach here.
They are, and they're also expanding what they call their one-stop shop for healthcare cybersecurity support.
What is that?
It's a centralized hub within HHS led by the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response, ASPR, and the goal is to make it easier for healthcare organizations to access all the various cybersecurity resources and support services that the federal government offers.
So it's about streamlining access and coordination.
Exactly.
Okay, so all of that's great at a high level. But what about the specific cybersecurity measures that healthcare organizations really need to be focusing on? What are the practical things they can do to protect themselves?
Yeah, well, the CyberArk article really drills down into this, and they emphasize the critical importance of access control, credential management, and privilege controls, you know, making sure the right people have access to the right things and no more.
It's like common sense.
It is, but it's often harder to implement than you might think. And this actually aligns perfectly with what's known as the NIST cybersecurity framework.
What's that?
It's basically a set of best practices for cybersecurity. And one of its key pillars is the protect function, which is all about safeguarding critical data and systems by controlling access.
So how does that translate to the healthcare setting?
Well, for example, one of the NIST requirements is something called AC1, which is all about identity and credential management, basically making sure who or what is accessing your systems and what permissions they have.
So it's like a digital ID badge and keycard system.
Exactly. And there are other requirements too, like AC3, which is about managing remote access securely, and AC4, which focuses on access permissions, making sure they're granted based on the principle of least privilege and separation of duties.
least privilege, that means only giving people the access they absolutely need to do their jobs, right?
That's right. And NIST also highlights the principle of least functionality, which is about configuring systems to only perform essential functions to reduce the potential attack surface.
Oh, it's about minimizing the ways in which a system can be exploited.
Exactly. And all of this ties into the concept of zero trust, which is a really important cybersecurity model.
What's zero trust?
It's a security model based on the idea that you don't automatically trust anything inside or outside your network. Every user and device needs to be verified every single time they try to access something.
So it's like constantly checking ID.
In a way, yes. And it's a big shift from the traditional model of just trusting everything within the network perimeter.
And it seems like the healthcare industry is starting to embrace this approach.
CyberArk mentions a survey that found that most health system CIOs are now focusing their security strategies on strengthening user authentication and access controls.
So what are some of the specific things they can do?
Well, adaptive multi-factor authentication is really important. That's where you have multiple layers of verification beyond just a password.
So like a code sent to your phone or something.
Exactly. And single sign-on can also help reduce the risk of credential theft by allowing users to access multiple systems with just one set of login credentials.
Makes sense. And what about protecting those really sensitive accounts, the ones with administrative privileges?
That's absolutely crucial. Those accounts are prime targets for attackers, so it's vital to have strong controls in place to protect them. Things like limiting the number of privileged accounts, enforcing strong passwords, and using multi-factor authentication.
And what about preventing malware, like ransomware, from running on systems in the first place?
Yeah, CyberArk talks about a number of strategies for this application. Allow listing is one that's really effective.
What's that?
It's where you create a list of approved applications that are allowed to run on a system, and anything that's not on that list is blocked.
So it's like a whitelist instead of a blacklist.
Exactly. And even for allowed applications, you can restrict their access to sensitive data unless absolutely necessary.
So it's about layering those defenses.
It is. And another important step is removing local administrator rights from user accounts.
Why is that important?
Because it prevents users from installing software or making changes to the system that could potentially compromise security.
So it's all about limiting the potential for damage.
Right. And other key measures include maintaining a detailed inventory of all software in use, implementing software restriction policies, and making sure that any remote access by third-party vendors is properly secured.
It sounds like it takes a really comprehensive and multi-layered approach to secure healthcare systems.
It does. There's no silver bullet. It's about implementing a whole range of measures and constantly adapting to the evolving threat landscape.
And it's not just up to individual healthcare organizations either. Right, the HHS document talks about the role of various agencies within HHS in tackling this problem.
That's right. It's a collaborative effort involving multiple agencies, each with their own specific expertise.
So who are the key players?
Well, ASPR, the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response, they serve as the Sector Risk Management Agency for Healthcare, so they're responsible for coordinating all of HHS's cybersecurity support efforts and working with external partners.
So they're like the central command.
Exactly. And then there's the HHS SRMA Cybersecurity Working Group, which is the primary mechanism for coordinating cybersecurity activities across all of HHS.
And we also heard about the FDA. What's their role?
The FDA plays a critical role in informing the healthcare sector about vulnerabilities in medical devices. They also establish cybersecurity guidelines that device manufacturers have to follow.
So they're focused on the device side of things?
They are. And then there's the HHS 405D program, which is all about promoting consistent security approaches across the healthcare industry.
How do they do that?
Through a variety of means. They provide resources, raise awareness about cyber threats, and encourage good security practices.
And what about OCR, the Office for Civil Rights?
They're the ones responsible for administering and enforcing the HIPAA rules. So they investigate potential breaches of protected health information, and they provide a lot of guidance and resources to healthcare organizations and patients.
And we saw HC3 mentioned as well. What do they do?
HC3 stands for the Health Sector Cybersecurity Coordination Center, and their main focus is on analyzing threat information and developing strategies to mitigate those threats.
So they're like the intelligence analysts?
Exactly. And then there's ARPAH, the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. They're a relatively new agency, and they're doing some really interesting work on how to maintain care delivery even during a cyber attack.
That's great to hear that kind of forward thinking.
It is. One of their key projects is called DigiHeals, which is focused on developing solutions for that very challenge.
And what about CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services?
They have a twofold role. They're responsible for protecting their own systems, of course, but they also work to promote cybersecurity across all of their programs, which touch a huge number of healthcare providers and patients.
And ONC, the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, what do they do?
They play a key role in supporting the adoption of secure health IT and promoting the secure exchange of health information.
So they're focused on the IT infrastructure.
Yes. And finally, there's ONS, the Office of National Security within HHS.
What do they do?
They provide intelligence analysis to inform HHS policy and planning specifically related to cybersecurity threats.
So it really is a team effort across all these different agencies.
It is. Everyone's working together to try and address this very complex and challenging problem.
Well, it's been a fascinating deep dive. It's clear that the cyber threats facing healthcare are significant and growing. And the potential impact on patient safety and care delivery is very real.
It is, but I think it's also important to recognize the tremendous efforts that are being made to improve cybersecurity in healthcare.
Absolutely. There's a lot of work being done both by healthcare organizations themselves and by government agencies to strengthen defenses and protect patient data.
And ultimately, this is about protecting all of us.
It is, because we all rely on a safe and secure healthcare system. And for you, our listeners, it's important to understand this issue and to be aware of the steps that are being taken to protect your health information.
And as we wrap up, I think it's worth leaving you with this thought. As we continue to see incredible advancements in healthcare technology, how do we ensure that those advancements go hand in hand with robust cybersecurity measures? How do we balance innovation with security to create a healthcare system that's both cutting edge and safe?
It's a question worth pondering. And for those who want to learn more, we encourage you to check out the resources provided by the various HHS agencies and the American Hospital Association.
Absolutely. There's a wealth of information out there.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. See you next time.
See you then.